Well, we're now in, I think it's part six of our series, Full, Free and Alive. And this morning, Neil is here with us. Neil is our curate here at Christchurch, our senior curate, I probably should say now. So we
makes me sound old.
Well, there we are. Senior in experience, certainly, in many, many ways. And it's wonderful to have you teaching us this morning, Neil. And we're looking forward to the message that God has given you for each one of us. So let me pray for you, and then I'll hand over to you.
Thank you.
Father, thank you for the team that you have put in place within this church. Thank you for the gifts that you have given Neil. And Lord, thank you for the way that he has pursued you for this message over recent days. Thank you for the treasures that you have opened up to him for us in your word. And we just pray that your spirit will anoint and equip him to communicate all that you have for us. And Father, as we pray for him, may our hearts, each of our hearts and minds, be open and ready and willing to receive the good things that you have for us today. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Great. Thank you, Paul. Good morning, Christchurch. It's great to be with you on this amazingly sunny day. I'm looking forward to getting out this afternoon and enjoying the sun. And thank you for all of your answers and responses to the question we started off with, what have you been growing? It's tying in with our first reading, and we're going to hold those two readings of John 15 and then thinking about into Colossians 3, which I'll read in a little bit of time. So our question about what have you been growing, some great things. Paul mentioned the sunflowers behind me. Our street is in the middle of a sunflower growing competition. We unfortunately missed out on the start of that, but that is currently going on. There's some WhatsApps this morning of different people's. I've seen one that is now taller than one of the children in the household that it's in. So that is a competition of growing sunflowers. We saw and heard people mention the fact that they've been growing their hair and the joy of being able to get that cut. Martin and others, Chris, I think, mentioned the fact that they've been growing older. We've had vegetables being grown, so we're looking forward to the meals that are being prepared as a consequence. We had grass, and as well as Chris Whitwell, we've had the front lawn at Linden Gate with Sol and Anna and Sophie and Elliot, who've been tending to the front lawn and making that look amazing, and lots of different flowers that have been looked after. But the reason we asked that question is that I want us just to think a little bit about growing things and growing in ourselves that we might be alive. And there's two things that I've been involved in that have as the consequence of growing grapes. The first was I've been trying out what it would be like to make my own wine. So this is my first bottle. I've got a bottle of red that I've been making, and there's my white. The red is ready, and so I'll probably be drinking this, not all of it, obviously, with the family over the next few days with meal today. And then the white's got a couple more weeks. So we've been doing that. So that's the product of the grapes. But also we have a grape vine in our garden. And I've decided during lockdown that I would look after it and see what I could do to help it grow and develop. Over the last few years, I've just kind of left it, and it's gone a bit wild. It's gone a bit mad, and it grew into next door's garden and into their bushes next door and kind of all got twined in. And so over the winter, I cut it completely back. That's generally my way of doing things. And there we go. There we have what it is looking like at the moment. That was taken just a couple of days ago. And already it is probably twice the size in terms of area and reach that it was previously. It's now got some structure and order to it. And you can see there in the picture, we've got grapes growing, which already look like way more than we've had over the last few years. In the opening reading from John 15, we were looking at the number of, which we've looked at on a number of occasions at Christchurch. We've been reminded of the imagery of the vine. As Jesus says, I am the vine and my Father is the gardener. It gives us a picture of what it means to be healthy, to be fruitful, a picture of what it really means to be alive. Our title for this series in Colossians has been Full, Free and Alive. And having looked at the fullness of God and the freedom in Christ that we've looked at over the last 2 weeks, today I want to get us to think a little bit about what it means to be alive. So the title for today's talk is Rooted and Alive. But I want us to recap a little bit on what we've looked at so far, because we can't start looking at the alive without really being connected into everything else. We're reminded that in Acts 15, that unless we're connected, unless we remain, unless we are connected into Jesus, then we cannot bear fruit. But let's just remember where we've been over these last few weeks. So Colossians is a letter written by Paul to the church in Colossae. This is a letter written to a church. And when we're talking about a church, we're talking about a house church, a church meeting in a home. Interesting times to listen and read and think through this passage, as we are unable to meet in our buildings in the big sizes that we want. We discovered this week that 40 is our limit for the building at the moment with social distancing. So we are limited by into house size groups. So we read this in that context. It was the home of Philemon, who was probably introduced to Jesus through the ministry of Paul while he was in Ephesus, along with Epaphras. But the church, this small church, this house church, was facing a significant challenge from false teachers about the worship of angels, the lordship of Jesus, and the sufficiency of Christ. In the first week, our Paul, Vicar Paul, reminds us of this letter is a portrait of Jesus, highlighting how Jesus is the fullness of God, that because of the cross we have freedom in Christ, and that in Christ we are alive. That full picture of all that Jesus has done for us. Chris Whitwell reminded us in week 3 that this is a letter of an invitation for closeness with Christ, a connection, a remaining with, an invitation to intimacy. That if we are distant from him, if we disconnect from him, then our responses to pain and suffering are affected. It results in our lives plateauing and a sense of passivity. And Chris helped us to think that through and unpack that a little bit. Janet, a few weeks ago, reminded us that all we need is Christ, that he is everything. In Christ dwells the fullness of God. And therefore, in him, we have redemption. We are created by him. We are reconciled, reconnected to him. We have all wisdom and knowledge to be able to discern and make decisions in the ways ahead as we follow him. We walk with him. We're not left to do this alone, but Jesus walks with us. We are filled by him with the fullness of God. Therefore, we're able to see and do the things that Jesus did. Being fully God, it didn't mean that he was different to us, but that we were able to walk with him, be filled by him, and able to live that out. And we are victorious. All of these phrases taken from the book of Colossians. And finally, we are pleasing to God. I'd encourage you again to reread the whole of this Colossians book, just looking at all of these things that we are in Christ. The fullness that is given to us. Finally, Natalie last week highlighted to us the result of Christ's work is not a whole load more rules and regulations, but an invitation into relationship, into the unforced rhythms of grace, to be led by him. What are the rhythms that God has been talking to you about this week, leading you to think and ponder on again? As I was tending and looking after the grapevine in our garden, it's needed a rhythm of regular checking, of regular looking after. At times it's involved taking bits away, even though they look like they're growing well, to enable other fruit to grow better. And we're going to come back to that as we continue in this passage. So that was a long introduction to this passage that we're going to look at today. But if we don't get that, we will try and build, we'll try and do this alive, living out of what it means to follow Jesus by ourselves. And we're told that is not possible. That without connection, it leads to death. And so we really need to get that. And my prayer for us is that we continue to press into these truths. The John's passage reminds us that we remain in him and he remains in us. No branch, no follower of Jesus, no community of faith can bear fruit without remaining. The passage reminds us of that rhythm of pruning and fruitfulness. These phrases and words we'll return to as we think and listen to this passage from Colossians 3. We read it last week. We're going to read it again this week. But I'm going to read it from you for you from the Message translation. So this is Colossians 3, verses 1 to 17. So if you're serious about living this new resurrection life with Christ, act like it. Pursue the things over which Christ presides. Don't shuffle along, eyes to the ground, absorbing with the things right in front of you. Look up and be alert to what God is going on around Christ. That's where the action is. See things from his perspective. Your old life is dead. Your new life, which is your real life, even though invisible to spectators, is with Christ in God. He is your life. When Christ, your real life, remember, shows up again on this earth, you'll show up too. The real you, the glorious you. Meanwhile, be content with obscurity like Christ. And that means killing off everything connected with the way of death. Sexual promiscuity, impurity, lust, doing whatever you feel like whenever you feel like it, and grabbing whatever attracts your fancy. That's a life shaped by things and feelings instead of by God. It's because of this kind of thing that God is about to explode in anger. It wasn't long ago that you were doing all that stuff and not knowing any better. But you know better now. So make sure it's all gone for good. Bad temper, irritability, meanness, profanity, dirty talk. Don't lie to one another. You're done with the old life. It's like a filthy set of ill-fitting clothes you've stripped off and put in the fire. Now you're dressed in a new wardrobe. Every item of your new way of life is custom made by the Creator with his label on it. All the old fashions are now obsolete. Words like Jewish and non-Jewish, religious and irreligious, insider, outsider, uncivilized and uncouth, slave and free, mean nothing. From now on, everyone is defined by Christ. Everyone is included in Christ. So, chosen by God for this new love, life of love, dress in the wardrobe God picked out for you. Compassion, kindness, humility, quiet strength, discipline. Be even-tempered, content with second place, quick to forgive an offense. Forgive as quickly and completely as the Master forgave you. And regardless of what else you put on, wear love. It's your basic, all-purpose garment. Never be without it. Let the peace of Christ keep you in tune with each other, in step with each other. None of this going off and doing your own thing. And cultivate thankfulness. Let the word of Christ, the message of Jesus, have the run of the house. Give it plenty of room in your lives. Instruct and direct one another using common sense. And sing. Sing your hearts out to God. Let every detail in your lives, words, actions, whatever, be done in the name of the Master Jesus, thanking God the Father every step of the way. What an encouragement this is to us. What a picture it gives of being alive. That picture alongside the picture of the grapes, of the vineyard, the vine growing. As we look at this theme of alive, let's remember the context that it speaks into. A letter written to a church, to a community of faith, a household gathered together. It's interesting that we're reading this in the context of lockdown. And let's hold that in our minds as we think about this. Not written to one individual about how to live it out, but a community in how we live this out together. Remember Paul, just before, John, just before we get that passage from John 15 on the vine. He reminds us, as Jesus prays for his disciples, let their love for one another prove to the world that you are my disciples. Living out and being alive is about how we connect to each other as much as the things that we do beyond. This is a passage written to the community of faith about how they live it out, and not for us to shout to everybody else. Let these words, let this passage speak into our lives together, that we might be transformed and see worlds changed. This is a small household community, but saw massive change, saw entire cities, towns, regions transformed as they followed Jesus together. And that is our heart. That as we, wherever you are, whether you are based in Bristol with here in Christchurch, I saw we had one household meeting with us from Tokyo today. Wherever you are, it just takes a small number of people living this out to see God move. So what does this mean for us, for our communities that make up Christchurch at this time? I want us to look at three things. The first is our focus. The second is what we take off. And the third is what we put on. And then finally, we'll finish by thinking just a little bit about the context in which we do that, the environment. As we've talked about growth before, we've talked about the thing that we can do. God brings the growth, but the attention that we can bring is the environment. And what we'll look at that towards the end. So our focus, the first four verses of Galatians 3 are the pivotal verses in this letter for Paul's argument against the false teachers taking an encouragement to live a holy life. The shift towards our way of responding. And it says, set your hearts and set your minds on things above. Focus on the right stuff. So often our attention gets distracted, gets caught up in other things, gets entangled in the day to day, and our eyes drop and we look to the things that we hold in our hands and we wrestle with them. But Paul reminds us to shift our focus, to keep our focus on Jesus, setting not just our minds, not just the ways that we think, but our hearts, our emotions, our internal processing. Set it all on Jesus. Focus on knowing him more together. Knowing him more deeply, that invitation of intimacy. Let the truths of Christ work transformation in us, individually and corporately, from the inside out. So my first question for us this morning is, where is our perspective? How are we distracted? It may be that in lockdown early days, you felt like you had more time to do those things, to set things down. But as we begin to unlock again, that we're already picking things up, we're already filling our diaries with things, and our perspective has shifted back. That there was times where we could just have space and intimacy, but that we're distracted again. So where is Jesus putting his finger through the Holy Spirit upon areas of distraction for you at this time. The second thing is the areas of things to put down. Paul in this letter reminds us that it's like the old garments that we've taken off and thrown away. But we need to continually just check that we haven't still got them on, that they're not still surrounding us. So we take off, we put down the old clothes. The pruning from John 15. Some of these things may look good things, may seem like they're producing healthy fruit, but are restricting the real fruit that God wants to bring. So where is God pruning for you at this moment? In the letter, Paul puts the emphasis on the need for right relationships. This context is right relationships with the church and the community that are there. And so he challenges them in these relationships. Take off the bad relationship behaviors and put on new ones. The new ones that we'll look at in a minute. But remember again that this is speaking to God's people. So easy, we can hear this and we speak it to the world outside saying you need to get all this sorted, but we haven't looked to ourselves. So let's hear this for ourselves and for us as a church community. He starts with the sexual sin. Those issues that stain our hearts and prevent us from connecting, causing shame and disdain that cause us to be separated from one another and from God. The sins of lust that we try to hide, but pervade all of our relationships, if not put to death. These are the things for us today that we just want to keep hidden. We wish people didn't know about. There's places that we go in our minds or on our computers that causes shame and guilt. There is no condemnation in Christ Jesus, and he desires us to be free. My encouragement is for you to speak that out to the community around you, to bring freedom and to put it down, to work through the consequences of that within that community. But sadly, we can so often stop there. If it's an issue for us, we kind of recognize it, we deal with it. If it's not, we go, well, that's okay, we're all good, we're all sorted. Let's get the world sorted out now. But Paul goes on to deal with issues of rage, of malice, of slander, speaking ill of other people and putting them down, and the use of filthy language. The things that perhaps are more close to home for more of us. More familiar to many of us. In our households, in our workplaces, in our communities. That we put on a good face when we gather together as church on a Sunday, but operate differently in the rest of the week. I speak these as challenges to myself as much as to anyone else. How do I live out the freedom and life that Jesus has given us? Paul states we need to put these things to death, prune them out of our lives so that the goodness and kindness of God might flourish and thrive. As we were chatting before we came on live, Jackie was reminding me and we were just talking about the fact that God's been speaking to her. For me, it was the grapevine. For her, it was tomato plants. But it was that same sense of this little growth, little bits that grow. And if we just leave them, the plant might look full, but the fruit is little. We need to continually just nip off little bits. That sense of keeping short accounts. Don't let these things grow too big. That when we get it wrong, we're quick to say sorry. And that we're quick to forgive others when they get it wrong. Let's just highlight three just to push in a little bit more. Greed. Where and how do we pursue material things over pursuing God? Do they become a distraction? It may not be physical money wealth, but there may be other things that we just want around us that make us feel safe and secure that become a distraction from our security and safety in God. Anger. I suspect for all of us, this time of lockdown has brought out things in us that the things that we didn't know were there, or perhaps we knew were there, but we've tried to keep hidden. One analogy that I've heard spoken of is that life is fine when the tide is in and the water height is level and high. But when the tide goes out, when times are difficult, that stuff under the surface. If you walk down by the riverside down here in Bristol and you see the river that has gone out, you see all of the bikes that have been thrown into the mud, the shopping trolleys, the street cones, all of these things become visible, hidden when the water is high. And lockdown has been one of those times, perhaps, where things have come to a surface and there's stuff to deal with at this time. Anger has come out. It's in the nature of relationship that conflict is present, but do we deal with it? Short accounts in dealing with it. And finally, lying or half-truths. We say we're okay when actually things are not. We make things sound better than they actually are. Lying is often not an outright lie, but it's just that half-truth that kind of seals off what really is going on. Are we a community that will tell the truth to each other? We'll encourage each other, but are real with each other? Let's keep short accounts. So we've got our perspective right. We've taken off and we're putting on. We're putting on new clothes. New clothes that have been formed and created with the maker's signature on them. The brand of his own that doesn't need any other brand to follow it through. How are we living out these things? These things of compassion, of kindness, of humility, of gentleness, of patience. How are we as a community together, the church community, fostering and encouraging each other in these so that we might live them out in the world? If we can't do it with each other, we're never going to do it out in the world that we're called to reach. We're not going to do it in our neighbourhoods, in our workplaces, if we're not doing it with one another. So let's together encourage each other to put these things on, calling it out in each other when we see it, our kindness, our compassion, allowing that fruit to grow in us, giving it space to grow, like the tomatoes or the grapes on our plants. God brings the growth. We just give it space to do that, putting it on. And so how do we do that as we come in to finish? What's the context? What's the environment that Paul in Colossians gives us to enable these things to grow? These fruits of his spirit. Well, there's four things I want us just to remember. Firstly, it's peace. Let his peace rule. Peace in this context is the impression, a picture image of being like an umpire in a match, dictating what is right and what is wrong, helping to make sure that we stick within the guidelines. Let his peace rule so that you might, that we might together discern the right way to develop relationships. We can often know that feeling when we just know something is not quite right. Let's verbalize it. Let's communicate that with each other so that his peace might direct. So let his peace reign and rule. Let it be the umpire in our decision making. Secondly, learn to be thankful. We can so easily get disheartened and downcast, particularly in times like these where we feel like we lack so much. But being thankful is a tonic that at times can be easy to choose, but at times difficult and the hardest thing to do. So let's encourage each other to be thankful. in our communities, when we gather online or as we begin to start to meet face to face in gardens and in homes. Let's encourage each other to be thankful. It may be just the smallest thing. It may be in the context of so many difficulties and challenges that we face. But let's look to be thankful, to give space to God for all that he's doing. Thirdly, let's allow the word of God to dwell in us. Not just to read it, not just to mentally understand the words and the Greek and all those different things, but let it dwell, inhabit, make a home in our lives. Let it shape and form our thinking so that we can teach one another in godliness. So often our accountability, our connections, our prayer groups can be places where we talk about sin avoidance. Kind of, I've not done this, I've not done that, I've managed to not do this. I'm pleased with myself because I've avoided doing these things, or help me to stop doing these things. But where do we encourage what God is doing? Where do we encourage the growth of godliness, kindness, humility? How do we call that out in each other? Where do we see that modelled in Scripture and what that looks like? How does the word of God mould our lives so that it's resident in us and speaks into our lives? Where do we ask the questions? How's the word of God being applied to my life today? I encourage you to do that in groups, in your small groups. What have you been reading this week? What have you listened to? And how's God speaking to you to apply it into your life? And finally, worship. This is so important. We've looked at this in the seasons of Christchurch about why worship is so important. But it's so important the way that we connect to God, to remain in him. Let's make space to worship, making space for sung worship together or individually. To read the Psalms. The use of creative worship like painting, drawing, dancing, getting out into enjoying God's creation, going for a walk and recognizing all that God has made and giving him thanks and glory for all of those things. There is so much more in our worship, so much breadth to worship. And perhaps in lockdown, you've been able to take more space and time to do that. But let's not, as we begin to take things back on, as we unlock, that we forget and lose space for these things. So we could build the environment by letting peace rule, by being thankful, by allowing the word of God to dwell in our lives, and an environment of worship, the worship of the everyday, to shape us and mould us so that we see the fruit of God in our lives. So I want to give us space, and I'm going to invite Julia and Tom to come back onto the screen to lead us in some worship. But just as they come back on, I just want to give us just a moment of stillness and quiet as well. What is God saying to you today? Is the things that he wants you to take off? Or firstly, is there perspective? Does he want to just get your perspective back on him again? Is there things that you need to take off in confession with God and with others? Is there things that God is encouraging you to put on? And what are the rhythms that you need to do to step into in this season to enable that to happen? So let's just take a moment of stillness. The other analogy was that sense of pruning and fruitfulness, is the things that God just wants to prune in your life. As we look at the plants in the background of Tom and Julia's screen, if left to themselves, they've gone all over the place. We need to keep pruning them back, to shape them, to mould them, to bring them life. So let's just take a moment and then I'll pray for us. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you that your word is life. Father, I thank you that even when your word brings a challenge to our hearts and minds, that it's because you want us to be fruitful. You want us to be all that you've made us to be. And so, Father, I just give you those things that you are speaking to your people right now, those areas of perspective, those areas of pruning, and those areas of putting on. Holy Spirit, would you continue to do your work that we might be a people who know the fullness of Christ dwelling in us, know the freedom that's been won, and can live out that as alive people with Christ. Come, Holy Spirit. So just encourage you as Tom and Julia lead us in worship, just to continue to pray. If there's people in your household, do get to gather around and to pray for each other. If you're not in a household with anyone else, then get onto WhatsApp and get someone who's on WhatsApp with you, and just to pray for each other together as we worship together. Tom and Julia, I'll hand over to you.